They're the things that God values. If they matter to us, they matter to him. But equally, as we get to know God, the things that matter to him start to matter to us. And that's what we're going to be talking about in this new year. Thank you, Donna, for sharing. you know, it's an important thing to note that, yes, that movement, where we go, what we do, how we press on, how we push on, there's a cloud of witnesses, the Bible says, that are encouraging us on and saying, yeah, come on, take that next step. And every step that is taken is encouraged, and the heavenly realms are on your side to say, keep going, press on. And so as we look at these two things, what you value, what's in your heart, starts to make it steers the course of your life. It says, guard your heart on the news sheet above all else, for it determines the course of your life. So what you value starts to determine the course of your life. If you value certain things, they will make it, that will be where your attention goes the whole time. And whether you like it or not, the thing you value the most, you give the most time to. These people say, if only I had time to start painting again. Well, you don't value painting very much, because if you did, you'd be painting. And you get the point. Anyway, so we're going to be going through a few of these things. We're going to be finding out, as a church, the things we value. We value, as a church, worship. You know, that's why we give it an extended time, and we don't break it up, and we cut into it. But we've got to see why we value that, and talk about it, and understand it, and make sure we don't lose it, because it's very easy to become complacent. We value generosity. I love the fact that we can give, and we can continue to give. I love the fact that as a relatively small church, we're supporting 50 people, 50 children in the Compassion Project. You know, I love that fact that is just, we're making a difference. But it's very easy to become fearful and mean and mean-spirited and start thinking about ourselves rather than understanding that God is the one who provides, and he will continue to give seed to the sower. And so we want to have a look at that. Friendship we've talked about today, and as a church we are on a journey with friends to freedom, you know. And so we need to look at what friendship looks like, because the world will tell you it looks one way, and we've got to understand what it really does look like. So underpinning all of these things, I believe that the most valuable thing that we've got to get in our hearts is each other, okay? Turn to someone next to you and say, you're the most valuable thing here. You're the most valuable thing here. You're the most valuable thing. In John 15 and verse 9, This is what it says. As the Father has loved me, this is Jesus speaking to his disciples just before he's going to the cross. These are important words, and we keep going back to them because there's a whole chapter. If you're if you've got a Bible that has the words of Jesus in it, it should look like that, red. John 15, entirely red, because it's Jesus speaking and saying, you know, this is important. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, and that's not about how we understand that, but I won't get on to that. you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in my love. I have told you this, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than he lays down his life for a friend. We're going on to take communion, and that was what Jesus was saying. He was about to lay his life down for his friends. And then he says to his disciples, you are my friends. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I call you friends. For everything I've learned from the Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, and fruit that will last. then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command, love each other. Love each other. That was the disciples, love each other. And so at the bedrock of everything that we go on to do as an organization, as a church, as a group of people, it's underpinned by loving each other and establishing each other's value. It's making sure that each of us is in each other's hearts, that you're in my heart and that I'm in your heart, and that it's not about what the world says, which is if you do these certain things right, you'll be in my heart. If you perform in a certain way, I'll like you. If you don't offend me, or if you don't disappoint me, that's not how life works. We have to know that. We have to know that we're damaged individuals, and are going to continue to damage each other. But actually, our value is not in what we do or don't do. Our value is inherently in how Jesus sees us, in what he thinks of us. And that has to be, our identity and our value has to be set at the beginning of this process. If your identity, who you are, if you know who you are and you know how valuable you are, you will be completely secure. That's called dignity. That is human dignity is established with your value being set and your identity being set. That's why when God spoke to Jesus at baptism, he said, "This is my beloved son." Bang, he set a seal on his identity. And you know, as you read in the Bible, God, the Father said, he put everything, he did everything for the Son and put everything under his feet. The guardrails on this journey that we're going on that will keep us safe are two principles of mercy and grace. If you want to show someone how valuable they are, give them mercy. Mercy means giving someone what they don't deserve. It basically means when Ella has not set her alarm and arrives to church, I don't give her a disapproving look, even though I embarrassed her a little bit. And it's just because, you know, she would have done the same for me. You know she would. Yeah, she would. But it's knowing that Ella is far more important than that and far more valuable than that. And so if I show her mercy by just, it's not a problem. Now, okay, I've kind of undone the principle by telling her how merciful I was. But basically, we see beyond. When people do things to us, we show them they're valuable, but by not reacting, by giving them mercy, by saying, that's okay, that's okay, that's okay. You're worth more than that. It's more important. That's okay. And after a while, that drives us mad. And we have to go to God for more resources to be able to keep doing that. But if you want to show someone how valuable they are, just keep giving them mercy. Every time they stuff up, every time they disappoint you, every time they let you down, every time, instead of reacting, instead of judging, instead of giving them what you think they deserve, give them mercy because you've been shown mercy. And as God has given to you, you give to others. That sets people's value. And then as they start to realize that, what that means, it will set their identity. Grace and mercy are the things that will hold us on this journey together. Ephesians 2 and verses 4 to 8 says, "But because of his great love, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions." It's by grace that we've been saved. "And God raised up Jesus Christ and seated us with him." Raised us up with Jesus Christ and seated him with him. That's our identity. We are seated with Christ in heavenly places. We are sons and daughters of the Most High. That's not because of what we've done. It's because his great mercy, his great love, his great grace towards us. "In order that in the coming age he might show his incomparable riches of grace expressed in his kindness to us through Christ Jesus." Grace, mercy, kindness. These are the fundamental bedrock of where we should be and what we should be doing. Verse 8, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not for yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, for which he prepared in advance for us to do. First of all, before we start doing stuff, we've got to understand that we don't do any of what we do to earn God's favor. We don't do any of what we do to gain some greater value and identity in the kingdom of God. Fundamentally, before Jesus had done anything, it was, you are my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. You know, if Ella had lain in bed all day and decided not to come to church, she's still my daughter, I still love her, it would be perfectly okay. Because it's not about that. And we can't make it about that. Hebrews 4. And verse 14 to 16 says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. Verse 15 says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we have, yet without sin. Let us approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we might receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. That in our time of need means just at the right time, God's resources are there for us. So before we go on to any of the things that we might do as an organization or as a church or as a bunch of people, we've got to know that fundamentally it's people who are important. And it's us finding out our value and understanding our value for each other and knowing how much we need to express mercy and grace to each other. Grace is where you give someone something that they don't deserve. So they haven't done anything to deserve it, but they're given it. I have a friend who keeps giving me bottles of whiskey. And they're too good to drink. This is the problem. And I've told him this, that I can't drink any of these things because they're too good to drink. It's unmerited favor. He just likes giving things, and particularly to me. And any of you want to join him, it's more than welcome. You know? That's grace. And I think, well, I haven't done anything to deserve it. No, I haven't. That, and you've got to learn what it is to accept that unmerited favor. But one of these bottles of whiskey he gave me, he said, this is a bit unusual. When he bought it, it cost him £90, which you might say is a lot of money for a bottle of whiskey. It's now selling for £400. Still can't drink it. Can't drink it anymore. But nothing's changed. But what someone is prepared to pay for that bottle of whiskey determines its value. So when it was bought, it was £90. That was determines its value. Now someone is prepared to pay £400. That bottle of whiskey is worth £400. What someone is prepared to pay for you determines your value. And this is what we say in communion. Jesus determined your value by saying, you are priceless and it's worth his. He is prepared to give his life for you. That and communion is what sets your value. And if anyone tells you you are worth less, point to communion and say, well, Jesus didn't think it. Because he was prepared to give his life for his friends. Amen? Let's take communion together. I know I've just touched on a few issues there and not really got to the bottom of very many. But I believe God will reveal what he reveals to you. In Romans 8, it says, God, we are his chosen people. We're called. And those who God has called, which is you and me, it says he's justified. It's just as if we hadn't sinned. He's blotted and taken away our sin. And this is what we remember here. And then it says, those he's justified, those he's dealt with all of their sin, he's glorifying. That means he's turning us into himself, more like him. We should be becoming more kind, more gracious, more filled with mercy. And that's what I hope for us all for this year. At the end of it, you'll say to me, Daniel, you're getting a lot kinder. Don't laugh, Roger. But that has to be the measure of it. Because people are worth it. And, I'm on the journey with you, and every step that I take, God rejoices and thinks, here's another step in the right direction, son. But he still loves me, whether I make that step or not.